Welcome to the Level Up English podcast, the best place to come to practice the English language, learn about the British accent and culture, with me, your host, Michael Lavers. Hello and welcome back to the Level Up English podcast. How are you doing today? I'm going to be talking today all about how to teach English. The idea behind this one is to help your friend or help someone you know maybe learn English a little bit better. I'm going to be covering this episode from a few different angles. And the reason why I'm making it, I think, if I remember correctly, is I got a request or suggestion from one of you listeners. So I got a message from someone saying they're trying to teach English to their friend or maybe family member, I can't remember. And I said that would be a great idea for an episode. So I will do my best to comment on it and do what I can in today's episode. I also have a feeling, though, that this will be the kind of thing where after I finish recording, I will think of many more ideas like, oh, I should have said that, or ah, oh, why didn't I say this thing? You know, something like that. So hopefully I will find something good to say, but I may end up missing out a lot of information. But yeah, so just to kind of review over who this episode might be good for, hopefully most of you. But yeah, you may be interested in helping a friend or family member learn English, or perhaps you want to teach your own children. That's a common question we get as well. We covered that on the podcast a couple years ago, teaching English to children. So that could be useful if that's the case for you as well. But also, teaching is a fantastic way to learn yourself. And I can say from my own experience that I've learned so much about my own language, English, from teaching. I remember when I first started teaching, I was studying and learning the grammar before I actually did my first lesson. And it was really confusing. Like some things like gerunds and infinitives and certain grammar things were very difficult for me to understand. But the moment I started teaching, ironically, it became so much more clear, because when you explain something, you have to understand it quite well. And I think there's a famous quote from Einstein, maybe someone, who says, you don't know something truly unless you can explain it to your grandmother. So basically, you have to make something really, really simple, and that's when you really understand it. So I think there's a lot of truth to that. I like that phrase a lot. I mean, even if you've never considered teaching before, you might want to consider finding someone in your life where you can start teaching, even casually. It doesn't have to be serious, but teaching someone casually can help consolidate what you know. To consolidate means to make something more clear in your head. You have this knowledge and you want to consolidate it, which means you're making it solid, consolidate. You're making it stick in your head. So it could be, for example, like a formal lesson with someone. You could be sitting down on Zoom and teaching someone, or meeting someone face to face and telling them what you know, giving them little lessons. It doesn't have to be paid, of course. It just could just be like a hobby, right? It could just be for fun. But it could also be something casual as well, like explaining what you have recently learned to a friend. Maybe you're walking to the supermarket together and you're explaining what you learned. And I do this all the time. Whenever I learn something interesting on a podcast, I will just say to someone like, hey, I want to share something with you. Maybe you're not interested, but I know if I share it with you, it will be consolidated and stick in my mind more easily. So that's a big reason, a selfish reason, why I want to share information with people. So I'm going to give you some general tips on how you might go about doing this. These are general, so these will hopefully be useful whether you are teaching in a casual way or you want to take it more seriously. These tips should help all of you. And then I'm going to talk about what you might want to do if you do want to take it more seriously, and maybe you do want to start teaching as a career as well, and you want to make it your job. I know we have many people out there who are trying to become English teachers as learners as well. So that's amazing. And I hope I can help you with that as well. So tip number one, general tip number one, is to help them set up a routine. Important, that is manageable. So help them set up a routine that they can manage and they can fit into their own lives effectively. If you've been listening to this podcast for some time, you will know that I am a huge advocate and supporter of a routine, a healthy routine. Because if we just rely on motivation, we're not going to make it very far. We need to have a routine so we can consistently study and improve in the way that works best for us. For example, I don't want to be that guy that talks about going to the gym because it's a little bit cringe, a little bit awkward. But I recently started going to the gym regularly. And when I first started, I made it really easy. I was going for just a few minutes every day, not lifting very heavy weights, keeping it really simple. And the reason for that was just because I wanted to set up a routine that worked well in my life. And if I made it too difficult or I did some crazy 2-hour routine, I would soon give up. So try to encourage your friend or family member or stranger to set up a routine to make sure they will consistently study. That's really important. And then as they have that, you know, make it really simple. They can expand and make it longer and bigger as they go and as their skill level rises as well, goes up as well. So the second thing you might want to do is assess their motivation level. So two options here. One, if they are really motivated to learn and they're actively studying, then I would say you can allow them to guide their own teaching. I think one mistake that a lot of teachers make is they're too forceful. Like they say, no, this is what we're learning. We are doing this topic today. Even if the student is asking questions about something else, then the teacher might say, no, I cannot answer that question. That's not in the topic today. In my opinion, personally, I believe a good teacher should encourage the student's curiosity. And if a student is asking about something, to me, that is a sign that they're ready to learn. I don't think a teacher should always necessarily reject certain topics, right? So if your student is really asking about a particular grammar topic, then maybe it's time to cover that in a lesson. And I've had to do that before in my lessons where I have had a student where I have a plan. Like, okay, I think this lesson will be really suitable for this student. So let's do this lesson today. But then in the lesson, the student has so many questions about something totally different. And I could just go, no, we're doing my plan. But I think it's important to be flexible and adapt to what they want to do. So if your student is motivated, I think that's great. And I think you may not actually need to teach any topics. You can just answer questions they have and encourage their curiosity. That's one of the best things you can do. However, it becomes more tricky if they are not super motivated. If they're not so excited about learning English, as is common with children, then you may have to create some structure for them and also find a way to make learning fun. So maybe you could, let's say it is with children, you could incorporate a hobby into the lessons, like playing video games, but they have to kind of practice their English while playing it somehow. And you know, while making it fun, maybe you could also incorporate some grammar topics as well. I'm always a big fan of that. Rather than teaching grammar, I like to just add grammar into a more fun general topic lesson. So you're kind of learning grammar in a more natural way without sitting down and just studying rules, which is not fun for anyone, is it? Unless you're super motivated again. So yeah, just think back to what you struggled with. I mean, this is the benefit, especially if someone is a little bit lower than you in their English level. Think about what you struggled with when you were at their level and really get into that frame of mind and be the person that you wish you had when you were at that level as well. Another really good tip is to show, but don't tell. Another big mistake that I see a lot of teachers making, just again, in my opinion, just my own personal view, but I think as much as possible, you should show people how to do something rather than telling them to do it. So one simple example of this is if someone is asking, you know, let's say, what does this word mean? What does this word mean? And the word is, what's a good example? Acrophobia. Acrophobia. Ooh, difficult, scary, big word. Acrophobia? Okay, let me tell you the meaning. No. I think a good teacher should try to encourage their student to think for themselves. So they might elicit, which means make the answer come up in their own head. Get the answer from the student. So for this example, let me walk it through with you and maybe you can work it out. Maybe you don't know what acrophobia means. So, okay, if I'm really scared of something, I'm really afraid of something, I might feel, let's say, claustrophobia. I'm very claustrophobic. And that just means I'm really scared of small spaces. So what do you think that ending means? Phobia. What do you think that means? Do you know? It's a very common word ending. Claustrophobia, acrophobia, aerophobia, dentophobia. There's many examples. What do these all have in common? Yes, that's right. That means you're scared of something. You have a fear. Phobia is a fear. Good. Well done. Now we've got the first bit, acro. Acro. Ooh, what could that mean? Do you know any? Can you think of any other words that begin with acro? Acra? Can you think of any? No problem. Don't worry if you can't think of any words like that. But let's say, have you ever been to the circus before? Yeah, me too. I love going to the circus. When I went to the circus last time, there were these really amazing acrobats. They were doing acrobatics all around the circus. They were jumping around, swinging really high up in the sky. And it was really incredible. It's like gymnastics, really high up. Why do you think they're called acrobatics? Acrobat. What does that mean? Think about it. An acrobat and acrophobia. What do you think they could have in common? Yes, well done. Acro means high. It means tall. So acrophobia, any ideas? Yes. Fear of being up high. Fear of tall places. If you're acrophobia, if you're acrophobic, I should say, you have a fear of heights. Well done. So I just came up with that right now. It maybe wasn't the best example, but I hope it gives you some idea of how you can give hints to the meaning and help your student walk to the answer themselves without just directly telling them the answer. You know, something like that. And it, you know, really depends on their knowledge level, but you could try something like that. Hey, it's Michael. If you're enjoying the Level Up English podcast and want to continue unlocking the power of effective communication, especially in a second language, then I recommend checking out Think Fast, Talk Smart. This award-winning show is produced by the Stanford Graduate School of Business and is the number one career podcast in over 95 countries. Each week, host and Stanford lecturer Matt Abrahams sits down with experts to discuss the best tips to hone and develop your communication skills. From making small talk that leaves a big impression, to keeping your nerves in check while speaking in front of crowds. There's a reason this show has over 42 million downloads and counting. You'll hear from pros like neuroscientist Andrew Huberman on how to manage speaking anxiety, speech writer and best-selling author Dan Pink on how to take risks in your communication, and psychologist Kelly McGonigal on how to harness nervous energy to fuel powerful presentations. All that and so much more is available on Think Fast, Talk Smart. So, come on, what are you waiting for? Listen every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And also tell them I sent you. Now back to the show. Another tip I have here is don't feel like you have to know everything. I think another title for this episode could be Big Mistakes of New Beginner Teachers, because I think this is another one that is a lot of beginner teachers do this. And I know that because I did it as well all the time, where if a student asked me a question and I didn't know the answer, I felt like I had to lie or kind of panic or make something up. I really felt like I had to know the answer because I'm the teacher. But the more experience I got, the more I realized students don't expect teachers to know everything, first of all. Languages are huge. And secondly, it's actually quite nice to see that a teacher doesn't know something. It feels quite nice because it lets the student see, oh, it's even difficult for the teacher, so of course it should be difficult for me too. You're allowing the student to see that no one is perfect, no one knows everything in English, so that's really reassuring to the student too. And I've had many students say that to me before. It's like, wow, Michael, I'm so glad you don't know as well. It makes me feel much better. I'm so glad you're also not that smart, Michael. But yeah, it's a nice thing to do. So if you do have a situation where you're asked a question in a kind of teaching environment, you could just say, that's a really good question, but I don't know the answer. I think I'll research it and I will let you know next time. And just make sure you do actually do that. But that's always a nice thing to do. Positive reinforcement as well, whether you're teaching children, friends, or real students, rather than saying, oh, that wasn't so good. Don't, you know, I think as learners, we have enough of that in our brains, negative self-doubt, negative beliefs. So as a teacher, I think it's important to be really like, oh, that was amazing. You know, you did that bit really well. The way that you pronounced that word was fantastic. By the way, if you want to sound a little bit more natural in this area, this is what you could say, right? So you're still giving feedback to help them improve, but you're also really giving them that positive reinforcement and focusing on what they did well. It's not about lying. You know, we're not saying, oh, your English is perfect, well done. We're just focusing on good things and saying the not the bad things, but saying the things that need improvement in a nicer way, right? It's not that we're ignoring it, we're just saying it in a nice way. A few more now, a couple more. Six is make it fun. That's what I try to do in these episodes. Maybe it's more interesting to listen to, I don't know. But yeah, just as I said before, use real world examples, play video games, go out and play while learning. If you're helping your kids try to learn English, go outside, play with a ball. Here's a really good example, actually. I'm not super committed in learning the Thai language, but you know, I've got a group of friends here and they're all quite beginners in the Thai language. And what we've been doing is we've been playing badminton, and when we count the score, we're counting in Thai, which is really interesting. And we're also doing some phrases in Thai, like, yeah, very good, good shot, that kind of stuff too. So we are having fun playing badminton, and we're also improving our language skills a little bit. So that's a nice example there. Two more tips here before we move on. So seven is don't underestimate the power of practice. Another mistake that many teachers make is they think it has to be a really structured lesson with grammar and review and homework and this kind of maybe more boring stuff sometimes. And if the student wants that or they need that, that's fine. But I think sometimes just practice is all they need. If you can just talk with someone, that's fantastic. If you have a friend who's learning English and they are a little bit below your level, just talk with them, practice for them, ask them what they've learned recently, ask them if they have any uncertainties, ask them about their weekend plans. Just doing that is so important because speaking is something that we don't get enough of. You know, it's really hard to get enough speaking practice. So see if you can do that with a friend. Finally, one phrase which I really like that gave me a lot of confidence too is a reminder. If you want to teach something, you don't need to know everything. You just need to know more than the person you're teaching. So So hopefully that phrase is reassuring and a bit motivating to some of you as well. Let me just go now for the last little bit today. And for those of you who are interested in perhaps teaching as a career, I'm going to give you some very simple steps on how to get started. Because to me, it seems quite obvious because I did it. But I remember when I first started, I really had no idea where to go, what to do. It was such a new foreign concept for me. So I'm going to make it really simple now. This is some steps you could take today to get started. First of all, is build experience on a teaching platform. That's all you have to do. So if you feel like you're not ready to charge money for lessons, then get as much practice as you need with friends, family members, language exchange partners, or strangers. What I also did is I reached out to people I didn't know and just said, hey, I'm trying to get practice teaching, but I'm not very experienced. So can I try to teach you for 1 hour and it will be totally for free? Most people who want to learn will not say no to that. So you can get experience doing it that way. And that's really, really valuable for you. You'll feel much more prepared when you first start charging money. But, you know, I don't think you have to do many of them, just a couple of them until you know what you're doing. And then find a teaching platform. And there are many of them now, like Cambly, iTalki, Preply, many different types. And this allows you to focus on teaching and improving your skills and not worrying about building your own platform right away. Some people will just stay here forever. That's fine as well. But I think in the end, it is nice when you can take it one step higher and have your own platform. But another thing that these platforms do is they will find students for you, right? So you don't have to worry about marketing yourself too much. If you have a nice picture, a nice video introduction, you will find some students eventually, right? It just takes some time maybe. And yeah, I think you get some practice doing that, get some experience. The only downside, I think, to these platforms is it's really heavily influenced by money, right? If you have really high prices, it's very unlikely that you'll find students, right? So on these platforms, people tend to look for the cheapest teachers. And it's not a very healthy way to go about it, really. So once you do have a good amount of experience, in the meantime, you could start gradually building up your own platform. Maybe that's making a website. Maybe that's starting a podcast or social media to market yourself and advertise your services, your teaching services. Or that could be in your local area too. You're putting up flyers in the shops nearby, something like that. So, you know, this will be a bit later, but that could be the step number two once you've got some experience. At the beginning, when you're first starting out, you can use materials you find online and in textbooks. But I would recommend to translate them over into your own format. So see if you can come up with like a color scheme, like these are the colors I want to use. This is the font I want to use. And you have like a template where you can make lesson learning, lesson plans and materials, like in PowerPoint, for example. It looks professional and it just looks nice. I think a lot of people underestimate the power of appearance, right? Packaging is very important, framing. So you might have a very boring grammar book, but if you can translate the grammar content into a beautiful PowerPoint presentation, people will feel like they're getting much more value for their money because it just looks nicer, right? I think people like that. People like when it looks nice. So see if you can make your own content, your own materials in your own style and themes. And eventually, I believe if you keep doing that, you'll eventually know so much that you can just make your own content from your brain without having to use external resources because you will know the grammar so well at that point. But this is a bit in the future, isn't it? So yeah, just focus on one step at a time. Little things will sort themselves out along the way. Don't worry about every little detail. Just get to a platform, start teaching, and things will work themselves out, right? So yeah, keep it simple. I also have a couple tips here. I know I mentioned this already, but just end on these four things. Four mistakes of beginner teachers. Maybe that should have been a better episode for today, but oh well. So one of them is something that I'm very bad at because I've got a podcast and I love talking. This is too much talking. This is called TTL, teacher talking time. You want to keep the TTL low and keep the STL high, student talking time. So you might be nervous, you might feel like you have to talk, but you don't need to. The more the student can talk, the happier they will feel about the lesson at the end. I had a teacher once before who I'm sure was, I mean, she was lovely, I'm sure she's great, but the whole lesson, she was kind of talking and I didn't really have any chance to practice. And I just felt really annoyed, like, why did I just pay to hear you talk? You know, so keep that in mind. That's important. Another one is too much grammar. Most or many students want to practice. They don't want to be taught. It really depends though. You have to ask the student. So that comes to my next point, which is not checking what the student wants. So a lot of teachers in the beginning, including myself, to be honest, we have this idea like, okay, this is my structure. This is my lesson plan. This is what we're doing. And you don't really consider the student's needs, their goals, their level, their personality. You have to take these things into consideration. So I think a really good idea is to spend the first lesson getting to know the student and making notes. So you're learning about them as a person, their hobbies, and importantly, why they're learning English and what kind of lessons they are looking for. Once you know this stuff, you can help them more easily. And many people will do a lower price lesson for the first time to get all that information. Last is to make everything the same as it was in school. People have this idea that school learning is how it should be, but I think there are many things wrong with the way languages are taught in schools. So it's like lots of reading and memorization and test, like exam practice. And I think learning can be a lot more fun than that. So see if you can think about ways to make it better than school, more enjoyable than school. That's a good challenge. But anyway, I'll leave it there. Again, I'm sure I will think of many more things to say on this topic, but if you have any suggestions as well, let me know. Also, if you have actually had experience teaching someone like a friend or family member or whoever, let me know. I'd love to hear about your experiences and if you have any advice as well, because I have advice as an online teacher, but it may be different than your advice. So please let me know. You can leave your comments on the show notes page, levelupenglish.school/podcast267. Okay, so that will be in the show notes as well, in the podcast description as well. So you can comment there. Okay, let's just go to Spotify. So again, I want to say thank you to some comments on Spotify. You can leave any reviews or comments on Spotify. Apple Podcasts is a really nice way to support the show as well if you leave a comment there. But let's see what we've got. So usually on Spotify, we've got some short ones. So many nice comments. Really love all of these. And I will try to read ones I haven't read before. I can't remember if I've read these, but I have one from Aurora who says, thanks, very interesting. So thank you to Aurora. One from Carmen who says, I really like your English teaching. I'm from El Salvador in Central America. Nice to have a Salvadorian or El Salvadorian. Is that what you'd say? Listening? That's very exciting. So thank you very much, Carmen. One here from, maybe it's a Japanese name or a Chinese name, but I don't actually know how you read this character. Ling. Okay, if it's Chinese, then it looks like it's pronounced Ling. And it means tinkling? Tinkling? I don't even know what that means in English, like shiny maybe? Anyway, Ling, say, I'm getting distracted. Great fun. I'm glad that you learnt Japanese people try not to leave food on the plate to show gratitude. I love that. So this is in reference to my Japanese episode where I kind of mentioned about eating everything on my plate. And it kind of occurred to me that this probably is a Japanese name, isn't it? So it looks like this name is Rei. Rei. Meaning, oh, okay. It means clear, translucent, brilliant. Nice name. Nice name. So Rei. Okay, thank you, Rei. I guess your name is Rei. And I think we'll leave it there. So a few comments on episode 261. If you have any more comments for me, let me know. Leave them here. And I will love to see them. But thank you very much. Let's just end with a quote. A quote about teaching from John Warren, who says, "The teacher's task is to initiate the learning process and then get out the way." If you're watching the video, you can see me slowly sliding away. But yeah, I think that's a nice one. So a good teacher will start the learning process, get them motivated and curious, and then, you know, leave them to do it. Leave them to learn on their own and not get in the way of their learning. Right? I think that's a nice quote about teaching. Let's leave it there. So thank you for listening or watching this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. And I will see you very, very shortly for a new one. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye for now. You have been listening to the Level Up English podcast. If you would like to leave a question to be answered on a future episode, then please go to levelupenglish.school/podcast. That's levelupenglish.school/podcast. And I'll answer your question on a future episode. Thanks for listening.